appreciate that prayer and the good song service. I enjoyed hearing the different voices. When I'm not so loud, I get to hear other people a little better. It's kind of good tonight to be able to hear you, and I thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for that. And for each of you that are here tonight. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I do need your prayers as I stand before you. I'd like to read to you tonight from the book of Philippians chapter 2. I've had several passages of scripture on my mind and asking the Lord, begging the Lord that he would just guide me and direct me. And I still am right there, so please continue to pray for me as I'm before you, that I would follow the leadership of the Lord as we look together at a portion of scripture. Chapter 2 in the book of Philippians talks to God's little children, and it tells us about walking in this world in a way to honor and glorify the Lord, how we're to treat one another, how we're to treat our brethren, and who we're to really use as the chief example for our lives. We're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ and disciples of Christ. And the reason we are what we are is because of the grace of God that has been shown unto us and extended to us in such a wonderful way. Because of what the Lord has done for us, we have a responsibility and a duty to live in this world in a way to bring honor and glory unto the Lord. We owe him our very life, our very existence in this world. If it were not for his grace, if it were not for his mercy, we'd have no knowledge of him, nor desire to learn any more of him, nor any concern about living in this world in any other way than any other man. We would be of this world and loving the things of the world and no concern for the things of God, but because of the arresting grace of Almighty God, our lives have been so changed. Brother London mentioned that in his prayer, how the Lord had made a difference in our lives, that sometimes we wonder, has he really done anything for us? In the sense that we wonder if we're really his, do we really belong to him? And yet we see a hunger and a thirst in the people of God and in the children of God that you really can't deny. Even when you rebel and try to go another way, you're not able to do it with a good, clear conscience. There are times we do the wrong things. There are times we go the wrong way. We say the wrong things. But the Lord doesn't really let us get away with it. And he rebukes us and he chastens us and he corrects us and he brings us back and he leads us back. And it's very, very important for us tonight to recognize how really good the Lord has been to us, so that we would be motivated to live our lives in a way that truly honor and praise and glorify him, and we realize what our life is all about. If our lives were just about life in general, it's kind of would be a short, vain trip, wouldn't it? A man that's born of a woman, as we heard today, is a few days in full of trouble. What is your life? It's but a vapor. It's here for a while and it soon vanisheth away. And any of us that have lived any length of time recognize how quickly the time passes, and how at one time I can look back and think, well, I remember thinking, well, I got so many years in front of me and so much awaiting and so much of that, and now it's all kind of just in a blur, just kind of passed so very quickly. It's like you blink your eye and your kids have grown up, and next thing you know, your grandkids and then your grandkids grow up, or your friends that you have, some of them are no longer here with us, and some of the dear brethren that I began preaching with, or most of them really, have gone home to be with the Lord, and they're enjoying the fellowship of the Lord in heaven. And you kind of look at this world. If this was all it was just here, surely what the even if we had hope in Christ in this life, and we had it in this life only, even if we had hope in Christ, that makes the life worth living. Otherwise, it wouldn't even be worth living. I mean, there's blessings just to know Jesus here. There's blessings that I've had in the church. There's blessings that I've had in knowing the Lord's been with me. If it was just for this time world, I wouldn't want to live in this time world without Him. Wouldn't want to live without the blessings that I've received now. But even if we had hope in this life only, it says if we had hope in Christ in this life only, we would still be of all men most miserable. And we're trusting and believing and depending upon the reality that awaits us, that there's an inheritance that's reserved for us, incorruptible and undefiled and faded not away, reserved in heaven for us. And we're looking forward one day by the grace of God. We're looking forward one day to be with Him in glory. And that ought to make a difference on how you and I are living every hour and every moment, every day that we spend here in this world. No matter what our condition, no matter what our circumstances, no matter what we have to face in this world, we have the promise of God's ever-present help, strength, encouragement, instruction, leadership, guidance. And then when death does come, when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death and we do leave this world, we're not going to be alone. We have the Lord. And what a great consolation that ought to be to us as God's little children tonight. And don't know how much we'll speak from this passage, but I do want to read it in your hearing. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, he says, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Just looking at those first two verses, he lays the groundwork for why you and I ought to be thinking about our lives and living our lives differently than if the Lord had not done anything for us. And sometimes we as God's little children can fall back into the world, we can act like the world, we can think like the world, we can talk like the world, we begin to take up on the thought processes of the world. And in Romans 12 he says, and be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And one of the main things we want to have our minds renewed on and keep in the forefront of our minds is the wonderful comfort, encouragement, consolation, if you will, that we have in Christ. What does Christ mean to us? What does it mean that the Lord is? What does it mean that we have a Lord to look to? What does it mean that we have a God to trust in? What does it mean that He has arrested us by His grace and has made a difference in our lives? What does it mean that He has awakened us to have a knowledge of Him and a hunger and a thirst after Him that we can have in our minds and in our thoughts the idea of how great things the Lord have done for us? The Bible tells us that God loved us even before the very foundation of the world. And that love was placed upon us not because of something we did, but because of what He did for us. That's important tonight if you know that. And I know you as old Baptists here, you've heard this so many times. I probably expected to hear it again tonight. I hope you did. And if you're here in the morning, you're probably going to hear it again in the morning, that the love of God is so absolutely important. And to know that it was His everlasting love and it's His unconditional love, that it wasn't love that we merited. It isn't anything that we've done to merit it. Nothing we're doing now to merit it, but God has loved us with an everlasting, unconditional love. And if that means anything to you, is what He's saying. Does that mean anything to you tonight? Then we ought to act different, shouldn't we? We ought to talk different. We ought to behave different. We ought to think different. Our priorities ought to be different. What we put first in our lives ought to be different. The way we order our lives, the way we live our lives, it ought not be like He didn't do anything for us, because what He has done for us, we could never finish preaching. That's why old Baptists, like we've said before, preach so long. They got a whole lot to talk about. They talk about how great things the Lord has done for His people. And the Lord foreknew us, He foreloved us, and He prefixed our destiny. He predestinated us one day to be with Him in glory. Then in time, he calls us. Calls us with a holy call. Calls us with a heavenly call. Calls us from above. We're born again, born from above. He works that in your heart. The evidence of that is if you love the Lord, or you want to love Him, or you believe in the Lord, or you want to believe in Him, or you love the Lord's people, and you want to love them more, and you want to live right, you want to act right, you want to behave right, you don't want to displease the Lord, you don't want to dishonor the Lord, and when you do that, it troubles you. You don't just get by with it. Yes, you mess up. Yes, you do things that you ought not do, but it troubles you, it burdens you. The Lord doesn't let you escape without some chastisement and correction. One of the greatest evidences you'll have that you're a little child of God is the Lord chastening you and the Lord correcting you. The Lord, even in your heart and in your conscience, saying, look, you're messing up. Gary, you're messing up. You're not talking right. You're not thinking right. You're not acting right. Has that ever happened to you where He comes and says, this is not okay. It's not okay with my Heavenly Father for me to act like Jesus has not done anything for me. Because when I think about what He's done for me, He came into the dunghill that I was and am and was in, and He lifted me up out of that dunghill, and He set me up on a rock, and He's blessed my life. He's blessed my life in so many wonderful ways. He's given me an understanding that He's God. He's allowed me to look at His creation and see the beauty of it and realize that God's made it. He's allowed me to have dear friends like you tonight, where we have a love and a fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ. I long one day to be in heaven with others of God's children that have gone on before. And the reason we're going to be there is because we have an elder brother who came and took upon Himself our sin debt and died at Calvary, so that we would be with Him in heaven without the chance or the possibility we'd miss that. He predetermined our destiny. He predestinated us. And then He justified us when He died on the cross. And one day He will glorify us. And all of that is good as done. I can't add to that work. I can't take from that work. Me telling you about it doesn't mean it doesn't make it so. It's so whether I say it or whether I don't. Whether someone else preaches it or whether they don't. It's the truth. And that truth tonight ought to make a difference in the way I think and the way I should have my mind renewed by that. It ought to make a difference. Makes a difference whether the things are working out right now for me. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes when things don't work out each day for me, I get a little upset about it. Sometimes when the things get a little difficult, I get upset about it. Sometimes when things don't work out the way I want them to, and when I get news I don't want to hear, and I'd rather have this happen, and I'd rather have that happen. The next thing you know, I can slip and slide right off the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ and get right in the flesh, and I can go seemingly right back to that old self-centered, self-promoting, that old man of the flesh. We have that flesh to contend with. You have that battle going on. You need help with that battle, don't you? I need help with the battle too. And how do I fight that battle? One of the ways I want to fight that battle, and you need to fight that battle, is for us to stay in the Word of God and remember what the Lord has done for us, and that should be our motivation for living better and acting better and behaving better. Sometimes we say, well, if other people would act better, I'd act better too. Well, if you count on other people to get better, for you to get better, I got news for you. We're all going to get worse. We're not going to get any better. You know, a husband who's waiting on his wife to get straightened out before he's going to do what he's supposed to do and never do what he's supposed to do. And if a wife waits on the husband to get himself all straightened up so she'll know, is there a responsibility for us to do what we're supposed to do to one another? Absolutely. But who are we ultimately responsible to? That's the Lord. Who gives us the power to do it? The Lord. Who has made us able to do it? The Lord. Who's the one who gives us the wisdom of what to do and how to do it? The Lord. So where is our strength tonight? It's not in me. It's not in you. It's not in us. We could all collectively get together, hold hands, sing Kumbaya, and do whatever. And it won't benefit any of us at all. Even for the moment, if we just think we feel better, we just had a vain show. Tonight we don't sing those songs, what we sing is, oh, how I love Jesus and how I need Him. And I love Him, why? Because He first loved me. And because He loved me, I not only have the duty and the responsibility, but I have the ability and the want to do what He would have me to do because of His work in me. And if there be any consolation, is there encouragement tonight in Christ? I say there is, don't you? Y'all agree with that, don't you? I can't do it on my own. You can't do it on your own either. But we're not alone. He said He'd never leave us. He'd never forsake us. The Apostle Paul said it this way: I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. He didn't brag on himself. He said, you follow me as I follow Christ. He was saying, watch me as an example. Now, he wasn't saying, I'm all that, watch me. He's saying, my God has given me the ability as an apostle and the ability as a minister of the gospel and an ability because of the word and what he's done for me to live in a way to be an example, and we are to be walking. It is our responsibility, little children, to walk in a way that we're an example to one another, that we are an encouragement to one another, that we are a help to one another. Now, that's a big responsibility. It's more than I can handle as a pastor. It's more than you can handle as a church member. It's more than any wife can handle as a wife, or a husband as a husband, or children to the parents. It's more than we can handle, but in the Lord we can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. It's important that old Baptists act like old Baptists. It's important that God's little children act like God's children. It's important that the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ live their lives in a way to bring honor and glory unto the Lord. Not that somebody would look at them and say they're something special, but that they would look at them and say their Savior is something special. Our homes ought to look different. Our lives ought to look different. Our church ought to look different. Our individual life ought to look different. Sometimes I don't know. I do know about me. I sometimes fit into the world, fit into the crowd way too much. You know, you don't like to stand out like a sore thumb. You hate to be seeming like the one that always is sticking out and always, you know, it just. But if we're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to look peculiar in this world. And you know how many people would think this meeting here tonight was just a very peculiar event? they think, boy, what are they doing? They go over there and sing for half an hour and then talk about read the Bible. It was written so long ago. What influence does this have on the world today? I'm telling you, this is the book of books. This is the Word of God. This is the inspired Word of God. It's what we're given to hold our lives together by. It's what I need. And when I don't feed on it, when I don't read it, when I don't study it, when I don't apply myself to the Word of God, it weakens my ability to follow Him. And what's true for me in that sense is true for every one of us. I put it on me primarily because I know who I'm speaking to me. To me tonight. But if it fits you, and I feel that it does fit us all, I know it fits us all because it's in the Word of God and we need it. He says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ. Do you think for a minute the Apostle Paul is questioning if there's consolation in Christ? I don't. I believe he's telling us as God's little children, just think how good has God been to you. Sometimes we say, well, you just don't know how bad those people treated me. Well, that's not the question. The question is, how good has the Lord been to you? And you say, well, I'd like to respond to them like they responded to me. Well, the question isn't about how they acted toward you. The question is, and in the church, we're going to have conflicts. We're going to have times we don't see eye to eye. We're going to have, you know why? Because sin is mixed in all that we do. Because I have a body of flesh, and you have a body of flesh, and we're born of the Spirit, and we have the Spirit of God within us. We have that which is right within us. But sometimes we operate, don't we? Sometimes we operate in the flesh. And that can happen right within the borders and the confines of a little church as sweet as Little Happy Creek Church in The next thing you know, we could have one brother get upset with another brother. It can happen so quickly. One sister gets upset with another sister. In your homes, a husband can get upset with a wife. That may not happen in y'all's home. It happens in mine from time to time where we don't see eye to eye and are not in agreement. Does that mean we're supposed to just act like the rest of the world and have a brawl and go right at it? And when I face trouble in this world, can I just... Well, I'm an old Baptist. I'm saved by grace. I can just act any old way I want to. And when somebody just comes up and does something to me, I can just go right back in the flesh and go right at them. And listen, there's a part of my nature that does that as well as anyone. I'm not happy about that. As a matter of fact, it grieves me that I'm that way. In a verbal battle, in a verbal exchange, I can get right with them. And, you know, and I don't do that so much before you, dear brethren, because I love you and I don't want to act like that. But what is the responsibility? What is our responsibility of how we treat the world? What is our responsibility of how you act on the job? What is my responsibility of how I live in my home with my neighbor? The neighbor on one side that I may get along with and the neighbor on the other side that, might not get along with as well. Or the man that comes down the street in a way I don't want him to drive down my street or is doing this and that. And yes, it doesn't mean you put your head in the sand and don't deal with right and wrong. The Lord dealt with right and wrong. But how did he deal with it? How did he handle it? And how are we to treat one another in the Lord's church? Let us be careful how we treat the Lord's people. Why? Because of how good the Lord has been to us. What did the Lord do for you and for me? He saw me in my sin and should have cast me away, crushed me like a cockroach because of the vile, depraved character that I was and cast me into eternal woe. And if he had done that, I could not charge God with any fault whatsoever because I had sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, in Adam I died, but not only did I die in Adam, when I lived, my very first communication, I came forth as every other little baby does. I came forth born in sin, shapen in iniquity, as sweet and innocent as they might look. You know, the next thing you know, you'll soon see the nature. You'll see that nature. See it in my little granddaughter. I see that little nature flower. You know what I see? I see a reflection, old Gary. I see a reflection that, you know, that acorn didn't fall too far from the tree. And I can see I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And when I don't want to do it, I can throw a temper tantrum just as good as anybody else. I didn't have to teach her how to do that. And God forbid my behavior teaches her how to do that. And I want my behavior, even in response to that, to be what it's supposed to be. And I need help, don't you, to do that. Don't you need help? I need help every day to live in a way that I honor the God who loved me so much he died for me. I need help every day to be the pastor that I'm supposed to be, the encourager I'm supposed to be rather than the discourager, the one who is walking in the right way and talking in the right way. And the only way I can do that and the only way you can do that, whatever your calling. And listen, your calling is as important as my calling. Your position and your place in the Lord's church is as important as anyone else's. We're never to think of ourselves as being one of the most important. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us if we're on the right track, we'll feel to be the least and the least important. And I'm thankful that I feel tonight that as you gathered here, every one of you would have expressed that as far as your own feelings of importance. That gives me a great feeling in my heart that you understand that about yourself. But let us be careful, because our adversary, y'all know we have an adversary, he's like a roaring lion, and he seeks who he may devour, and he will soon come and play on that old Gary in me and that old flesh that is in you. And the next thing you know, he'll have us upset with one another, thinking about each other in a way we should not think, rather than looking over one another for good. Have you ever noticed how the world doesn't look over anyone for good? They're always looking for the very worst in everybody. And sometimes that enters in, doesn't it, among us. And sometimes if we're not careful, It can overwhelm us. Now, how do we keep that out? Well, you're not going to keep it out by saying, I think I can handle it. Sometimes I say, well, I think I can. I know I can do better. It's kind of like how good I stay on a diet when I just say, I think I can just do this. I'll do it for a few minutes, and the next thing you know, I'm messing up. I know this. If I do anything that's good and right and worthwhile, there's going to be only one way. I can do it as a little child of grace. And that's true for you as well. And that's by the power that comes from the Lord. And we have encouragement and comfort in Him tonight because our God cares for us. It's important to Him and to you. It's important to Him how you and I are living in this world and how we are acting and behaving as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ here as Happy Creek Church. The Lord knows our works. The Lord knows our heart. He knows whether we're hot or cold or whether we're lukewarm. He knows where we are. And that lukewarm state is where the devil would like us to be, because that will cut us off from our full communion and fellowship with the Lord. And I'll tell you, you can have every kind of benefit that comes your way in this world. If you and I as God's little children lose fellowship with the God of heaven, in the we can't lose our relationship. I'm glad to preach that tonight. I want to say that as loudly as I can. You cannot lose your home in heaven. You cannot lose your eternal inheritance. You cannot lose your salvation eternally speaking. And Brother Barnabas preached on Psalm 51. The whole psalm is about a brother who had walked in sin and in error, a man after the Lord's own heart, who had fallen in a state of sin because it creeped in his life, and he allowed it to creep in, and the next thing you know, he was so deep in it, that's David, that he didn't even know he had a problem until the Lord sent him a prophet. But the Lord didn't let him stay there. Aren't you glad? Because we wouldn't have Psalm 51 if it hadn't happened. And I'm not saying God caused it to happen, but God overruled it. And he taught him, and he taught us that there's forgiveness with the Lord, and we ought to and need to be occupying in the sense that we're more than conquerors right now while we live here in this world. And how do we do that? By remembering, is there any consolation in Christ? Does Christ give us strength? Yes. Does Christ give us direction? Yes. Does the Word of God teach us how we ought to live and act and talk and behave? If we pray to Him, will He hear our prayers? If we call out to Him, will He hear our call? Whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. That's not talking about how a dead man gets alive. It's talking about how a little child of God finds deliverance in a timely sense as he lives here in this world. And salvation is of the Lord. I'm glad salvation is of the Lord. Don't y'all deny? He says, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, how much does His love mean to you? I know it means a lot to you because I've seen you weep when we talk about how the love of God sent His Son here into this world to die for you. And what that accomplished. What that accomplished for us. What it accomplished for our loved ones. What hope we have in the Lord because of what He's done for us. If there's any fellowship of the Spirit. I felt the Lord's Spirit here. I felt the fellowship of the Spirit. I felt the fellowship of the brethren. We sing in the Spirit. We feel the fellowship that goes from heart to heart and breast to breast. And if you felt that, has that meant anything to you? It's meant a lot to you. I know it has. And he says, if any bowels, that means a gut-wrenching compassion. In other words, not just a something that moves me a little bit. I mean down to the core of my being, I feel a love towards the Lord and the Lord's people. I love the Lord's church. I love you here tonight. Love you individually. I love you collectively. I love you like my brethren. You are my brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't want to see anything bad happen to you. I want to see you walking. I love to see, the hymn writer said, the lilies grow and view them all as standing right in the right place while here below, just like the Lord commanded. I love to see God's children turning the other cheek like they're supposed to. I love them. I love to see them filling their seat. I love to see them lifting up their voices and singing. I love to see them bringing their Bibles and reading their Bibles. I love to hear about what the Lord has done for them. And when I get to hear a single time of or anything that's happened and it has occurred, it means so much to me to know how the Lord is dealing with you as his children. It's an encouragement to me. He said, fulfill ye my joy. He said that ye be like-minded. Tonight, let us all be like-minded. And how can we be like-minded? That means we're going to settle that the Word of God is the Word of God. It's what he's taught us to do. It's what he's taught us to believe. The doctrine that's taught in the Bible, I want to embrace it, don't you? That's what I want to believe. I don't want to have anything. And when it doesn't fit with the ideas of the world, let God be true and every man a liar. I want to take what it says. I don't want to add to it. I don't want to take from it. I want that preached from our pulpits. I want that to be what we talk about, what our fellowship is about. I want us to be grounded in it. I want us to be settled in it. I don't want it just to be something we hear in our head and don't put on our feet. I want us to wear it on our feet, shod, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I want it to gird our loins girded about with the truth. I want us to carry it like the sword of salvation, the word of God. I want it to be what guides us in this world. I don't want to see us backing up. I want to see us going forward. I want to see us growing. I'm not talking necessarily numerically, but that would be a blessing. But I'm talking about growing in grace and knowledge of the truth, growing in our love for one another, growing in our earnestness about the worship of God. And we can grow cold in this world, especially when the world is so contrary and we have an adversary. Remember when he came to Peter and he came to the disciples and he said to them, Satan hath desired you that he may sift you as wheat. He was talking to the disciples. Yes, Peter is who he was talking to, but that word you means all of the disciples. It's plural. When you read your King James Bible, when you see the word thee, it's not just a fancy way of saying you. It's thee meaning singular. But you is meaning plural. It's the plural form. We today in our modern English use you for both singular and plural and plural. I may say you meaning you, or I may you, both of you. All of you. But in the Bible, when you read you, he says, Satan has desired you that he may sift you as wheat. You know what that tells me? That yes, he desired those disciples in that day and time. And he certainly came after them, didn't he? And Jesus was warning them about what was about to come, especially when he was going to be crucified, what was going to happen to them. And even though Peter, remember, thought he was going to stand strong and be faithful, the Lord knew that he was going to fall. He knew he was going to fall. Jesus died for him. Jesus paid the sin debt for him. Don't you think the Lord isn't saying to us that Satan has desired us? Listen, we have an adversary. And he'll do anything he can to rob you. He'll rob your family. He'll rob your church life. He'll rob your individual spiritual growth in the Lord. He'll cause you to become miserable in this world. And we as God's little children need the Lord in order to be happy. you know, things are not going to make us happy. Stuff is not going to make us happy. It's good to have things. Thank the Lord that he blesses us with the food that we have. Thank the Lord he blessed us with our homes. You can go home tonight and look at your little home and just say, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to have what I have. Thank thee for the little ones I can hold in my arms. Thank thee, dear Lord God, for all the many blessings. Thank you, Lord, for my mama and my daddy. Thank the Lord for taking care of me all of my life. Lord, thank thee for all of those things. But if I had all of those things and I didn't have the Lord, I would be in trouble. I'd be in terrible shape. But because I have the Lord, I can appreciate all those things. My happiness isn't in those things, though. It's in the Lord. And if I lose some of those things, then what happens? Do I lose my happiness? All it causes grief and it causes sorrow. We know this. There's something better awaits us in glory if everything goes wrong in this world. If the Lord sees fit to heal our dear brother Stan, he can heal him just like that. We know that. We also know that there's going to come a time for all of us when our time has come. If the Lord does not come and come to get us, then we're going to be going home to him. And we're not meant to live always. We're not going to be here always. There's going to be a time that we face that moment where we leave this world. And we never know from day to day when that might be, what that moment might be. And if we worried about it all the time, we'd miss the blessings, wouldn't we? What he gives us each and every day. That's why we're to take it one day at a time, and not only that, one moment at a time. And to keep in our minds, in the forefront of our minds, the love of God that was shown to us, and therefore I know he's watching over me. And if I face a problem, he will give me grace. Don't y'all believe? He'll give you grace sufficient for the hour, for the moment, for the need. And that's true of every one of us here tonight. He says, "You fulfill ye my joy." I believe that just made the Apostle Paul happy to watch those Philippian brethren be faithful. Don't you? I believe it. Filled it. It's just like watching God's little children. Lord, how delightful 'tis to see a whole assembly worship thee. It's good to see you tonight. It's good to have you here. It's my joy to see you come in. It's my joy to see you want to sing. It's my joy to see you singing with enthusiasm. Brother Bob mentioned that one song tonight. I said, "Oh, I don't know. I don't know whether you're going to be able to get through that song." And I believe I enjoyed that one as much as any. I enjoyed the hymns tonight, but I enjoyed that one just as much as any of them. And I thank the Lord that he allowed me. It's my joy to see you here tonight. I would like the house to be full. I'd love to have every member in their seat. But I don't want to lose the joy of what I have tonight because of something that isn't there. And what can I do about the other? I can keep preaching. I can keep teaching. I can keep praying. I can keep asking God. And I believe that the God of heaven who saved me and will carry me to glory one day will be able to take care of all of that. Don't you? And that's my issue from here. You've got your issues from there. You probably haven't expressed them to me per se, but I believe they are there. And I don't know where they are, but they could be in your home. They could be in your job. They could be in whatever you're facing. And you may feel like I'm just going to be overwhelmed. Remember this. You've got a Lord who loved you so much. He'll take care of you. And whatever comes, you can count on him to supply what you need, even above all that you ask or think. That's what the scripture says. He says, "Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded." I hope we'll all have that same mind. You know, if we all have that same mind, we'll get along just fine. You know, sometimes the idea, well, if they just all listened to me and did what I said, we'd all get along fine. That's not the way that works. That's the last thing we need. What we need is all of us to say, "Not my way, O Lord, but thy way." That's true in our church. It's true in our homes. It's true in your own life. "Not my way, Lord, not what I want." You know, "Fulfill you that ye be like-minded." Now, this like-mindedness is not just that we all agree. Because we could all agree and be wrong. Y'all agree with that, don't you? We could all agree and be wrong. And that wouldn't be beneficial at all. This like-minded is to be, have the mind of Christ. And he goes on and he tells us that in verse 5. He says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And when we have that mind in us, then we're like-minded. And that's lined up with God's Word. That's why we're to have our minds renewed by the Word of God. That involves hearing, preaching, reading and studying your Bible and growing in grace and knowledge of the truth, because we need this to instruct us. The old devil would come along and say, "This is what the Lord would have you to do," and tell us a complete lie. You know how I know that? Because there's many people today in this world thinking they're following God and they're going in a direct opposite course, because it doesn't line up with his word. Somebody said, "Well, how do you know when you're following God?" You have the Word of God. We have His Word. We have the fellowship of the Spirit. We have the direction that comes from the Lord. We have the Spirit that dwells in your heart that will lead us and guide us. But if we're walking in the flesh and that's all we're feeding and listening to, how likely is it we're going to follow the Spirit? You know, I remember Brother Darrell Hand, bless his heart, preaching one time about two trees, and if you had two trees up here and one of them you fertilized and took care of and dug around and did everything you needed to, and the other one you just let just go on its own and just leave it alone, which one of those trees you think are going to get along better? And it's the one you're feeding the most, right? And so if we're feeding the old natural man the most, and that's what we're taking care of, is the natural man with the natural things of this world, what happens to the spiritual man when we don't take care of him? He gets sick, just like the natural man will get sick if you don't take care of him. We have a great physician in the Lord Jesus Christ that we need to go to for our healing and for our direction and for our eye salve and for all that we need. Like he told the church at Laodicea, I got all these things. If you'd ask of me, I would have given you all these things. Paul says, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love. That love is the same kind of love. It's not man-made love. It's not like the love of this world. It's the love that comes from God. And that'll keep you loving one another the way you're supposed to. That's love that's in the flesh hard to do. You know, some people are easy to love. They're just sweet, kind. You know, some people are a lot harder to love. We've got to love one another, right? Whether we like it or not. We're supposed to love one another. And how do we do that? By remembering the love the Lord showed to us and to show it to one another. And then the real challenge goes is, how do we act when we go out in the world and face a world that's unfriendly and unkind? We don't go along and legitimize sin and say that's okay and turn a blind eye to it. We don't do that. We follow the teachings of God's word, but we should do everything we do. Do you all agree with me that there's not near enough kindness and gentleness in this world, but there's far too much hatred and everything's under, it's just assault and attack. And even when I'm standing for the truth, I'm supposed to do it like Jesus did. And he did it gently. He did it perfectly. And I can only do that through Christ, who strengthens me. He goes on and he says, being of one accord and of one mind. Does it sound like it's important we're all agreed? How are we going to be agreed here at Happy Creek? I say we take the word of God and say that's what we're going to follow. Then we got a rule book. We follow the rules. We follow the directions found in God's word. We pray that the Lord would bless our preachers to preach it. And then we pray that he'd give us ears to hear it and then the ability to walk in it and follow it. And the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't go anywhere else or any other direction. And we stay of one accord and of one mind. And then he says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. That means when the old self gets in it. We'll share this passage with you and then probably just close with this thought. I was reading this passage. This happened right after the Last Supper. They've gathered together. The Last Supper has taken place. The Lord has gathered his disciples. And they partaken of the Last Supper. Just a little while before that, he'd taken a towel and girded himself, and he'd washed the disciples' feet. At another supper before that, he washed the disciples' feet, and he had wiped them with the towel, and he'd shown himself to be a servant unto them. How they should have been moved by the love and the compassion and all that Jesus showed unto them. You'd think they'd have their mind in the right place, wouldn't you? Coming right out of communion service with Jesus Christ administering the ordinance. Wouldn't that be something if you were there? You'd think, boy, if the disciples were ever on track, that'd be the day they're on track. Look at verse 24 of Luke 22. It says, and there was also a strife among them. Which of them should be accounted the greatest? Who in the world is that like that? That's the disciples. So if we ever think, well, that can't really happen to us, we don't think like that here. Listen, it can happen to us in that quick. The old devil get in there and start thinking, you know, it's about us remembering to be. And he goes on and he teaches the lesson that the world says that the Greeks have kings over them and they're the ones who are bosses and they're in charge and they're looked at as the helpers of the people because of that. Most of the time, they're really just robbing the people rather than helping the people. But they're looked at and call themselves the helpers of the people. And that's the way the world operates. That's not the way the church operates. It's not the way the Lord's disciples were supposed to act. They're not to think more of themselves than they ought to think. What it means is we as God's little children are to be servants one to another and be the ones that Jesus was a servant to his children by giving his very life. We ought to be willing to wash one another's feet, which means do for one another whatever is necessary and needed to do at the time and at the place, and not be so lifted up in pride that we wouldn't be willing to get at our brother's feet to do that. The literal practice of foot washing, when I'm there where it's practiced, I'd love to take a part of it and enjoy it. Enjoy that fellowship. But if it was just done in a literal sense, and that's the only way it was done, that we missed the lesson. The lesson is more than a literal practice. The lesson is about us doing for our brethren, humbling ourselves before Almighty God and being a servant to one another, so that whatever you might need, I would be, and whatever I might need, you would be willing to stoop to whatever position we need to stoop to do for our brethren. Just like what Jesus did for us. You know what he did for us? He tells us that over in that passage that I was reading. If I get into that long, we'd be here a long time. Been here longer than I thought already tonight. He gave himself. He came and gave himself. He made himself, verse 7 says of Philippians 2, he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's what he did for me. That's what he did for you. He says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. You know how he became in a sense the least, that he might become the greatest. He was already the greatest. But he laid it all aside that he might die for us and become the servant, so that he would redeem many. That is, all of his brethren. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The Lord gives us the strength. May the Lord bless us to love one another better, the best we can, when you have a mind to pray. Please remember me and God.